forget, just, I don't know, do something so I remember. All right, we're going to be in Mark chapter 4. Mark 4. And we're going to look at verses 21 through 25. 21 through 25. And what we have here is, I thought we were going to be able to get a little further, but what we have here are some very potent statements by our Lord, which follow his parable of the sower sowing seed. And the purpose that he speaks them is to emphasize to us what we've just heard. Right? And we learned last week when we heard that, we could see that the Lord's saying to us that there's very, very few who have the word profit them in any way. There's very few that hear it and that receive that seed, understanding it, and that it goes down into good ground and profits, and that it grows of the Lord, and that it bears fruit. So there's very few. And so now he follows that with some words to really drive it home, to lay it to our hearts, to make sure that we have heard it, right? Because in every congregation, there's a mixed multitude, right? There's some that believe and have a hope fixed in Christ, as I believe many of you here, but there's always some that don't yet believe, or some that are struggling or not sure, and it's all different amounts, so we don't know. So we broadcast the gospel, because that's how the sheep are fed, and that's how the Lord calls out his sheep that are still in darkness, right? So there's to that point that there's only a few that hear. It's because the Lord reveals in his word there's a remnant of people. There's a remnant of believers in the midst of professors, right? Of professors who profess to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Isaiah 10:22, "For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness." So these words are given to us who come to services, who come regularly or some of the time. They're meant to come to us and give us pause and to think, do I have an interest in Christ? Do I have a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I only a professor of faith without a possessor of grace? So these words are pretty powerful words that he speaks. And so we know, brethren, don't misunderstand what we speak of today. Salvation is a work of grace. It's the Lord that must do a work of grace in our hearts. Right? When Adam, the first Adam, died spiritually, when he sinned, he corrupted all his seed in his body. All his seed was in him. All of the human race was yet in Adam's loins. No one had been given birth to yet. It was just him and Eve. And so when he sinned, death entered him, and his seed in him was corrupted. So all of us who come forth from Adam come forth from that corrupt seed. That's why we're sinners. That's why when we have children, we know we don't teach them how to be wicked, how to fight for themselves, or how to do mean things to their siblings or to speak back to us. We don't teach them that, but it comes very naturally. It comes very naturally. Now, there's things that we do that betray that, but there's a heart in them that it's very natural to lash out and to do those deeds that are not profitable to us. But the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's a life-giving spirit. He's not corrupt. He has no corrupt seed, and he gives life by putting his seed in a dead sinner by the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. And that corrupt, and that seed is not corrupt. It's incorruptible. It can't even be corrupted because it's of Christ. And so that seed of Christ believes and trusts the Lord. This flesh hasn't improved or done anything to get better. If anything, we look at our flesh as we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We say, I think I'm more wicked now than I ever was before I knew the truth. Because now we see what wicked sinners we really are in the flesh, but our hope is in Christ, in the spirit that he's given to us to worship him. So Christ, his word sinks into our hearts, finds good ground, and springs forth bearing bearing fruit unto the Lord in his time, as it pleases him. Many of us may lay dormant for a time, right? The plant grows up, and it's green and tender for a long time before that seed, before that fruit sprouts forth at the end, if you will. So just trust the Lord and wait on him. So our title is Heed What You Hear. Heed What You Hear. And we'll just have two divisions. First, the searching light, and then how do you hear? Like I said, I thought we would get further, but we're going to have to come back to the other parables in the next time we meet. So Mark 4, verses 21 and 22. Let's look at those together. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. So first thing that we see here is that the gospel of Christ's, of the mystery of Christ, the gospel of Christ's salvation by the Lord, it was kept a mystery. It was largely hidden from the view of many people in Israel, and certainly from the world, for thousands of years. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul wrote in verses 25 through 27, he said, Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Here it is, even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's because in the law, when the law came to the Israelites, there were many types and shadows and pictures contained in the ceremonial law that was pointing to salvation in a lamb, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Passover lamb that God would send into the world to take away the sin of his people throughout the world, both in Jews and in the Gentiles. And the law, when it came forth, it would come to sinners dead in trespasses and sins. But the law doesn't give life to anyone. The law, when heard rightly, shuts our mouths. It doesn't cause us to boast and say to God, look what I did. It should shut our mouths and have us say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't keep the perfection of your law. I can't keep the righteousness that's contained here. What do I do, Lord? What can I do? Save me. Have mercy on me. Because that's all we can do is cry out for mercy. But when it comes to a dead sinner who hears it and thinks they can keep it, because it only comes in the flesh, it works as a ministration of death in them and a ministration of condemnation, because that's how it comes forth. And you can see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul's speaking about it. He calls it a ministration of death and of condemnation. So that's how it comes to dead sinners. So those who are still under the veil of nature, it comes forth. All that word comes forth as parables. We hear, even the gospel, when we hear the gospel today, all it is it's just a parable. It comes forth as a parable to us so that we still don't understand it and we're still confused in the flesh. So Christ did, though, when he was here and speaking to the Jews, he literally spoke in parables to those that were without, to those that weren't his disciples. It says in Mark 4, verses 11 and 12, he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. But after Christ was crucified, and after he rose from the grave and ascended up to the throne of his Father, we understand, we know that the gospel didn't stay there in Judah or in Samaria. It went out into all the world. Paul said in Colossians 1:23, he's reminding them, he never met them, but he's reminding them, saying, don't be moved away from the gospel which you've heard, and he tells us, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So that now in the time that we live, in this day and age, the day that we live in, Christ says, there's nothing hid, right? There's nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. so that now we have his word, right? And he's established churches throughout the world. There's not many, but he's established the churches, and he's put pastors there that are preaching the gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ. So his word's gone forth abundantly, and many of you hear it quite regularly, right? It's gone out. But in our text, now he says, you know, you who are coming and hearing the word regularly, he has a word for us who are here, who are listening and hearing this word. And he says, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? So that we who hear his word, we know and understand the power of the word of God and the effect that it has on our hearts. It says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So that we confess and recognize, yeah, his word comes forth and it reveals the darkness that's in my own heart. It shows the depravity that's in my flesh. It teaches me and shows me the impotence or the powerlessness that I have in the flesh to do that which I would do. I can't do those things that I know are right to do. And it shows me this because this is the word of Christ, and by his power he makes it effectual so that it comes in like a light and exposes what we are in our nature. He shows us and reveals to us what we are, and then he causes that same word, we who are his people, he causes that word to go in, to sink down into the heart, to take root, and to grow up, to come up a tender plant. Of Christ, we read in John 1, 4, and 5, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light, this is speaking of Christ, shineth in the darkness. That darkness is us, and it's our own abysmal nature. It's our flesh that is weak and powerless to do the things that God commands all his creatures to do and reveals to them that they ought to do and should do for their good and why we were created to serve him and to worship him. So that light comes forth, and the darkness comprehended it not. Our flesh, naturally speaking, doesn't comprehend or understand what God's showing us. So that even when we hear the law in the flesh, we think, oh, well, he wouldn't have given a law if I couldn't keep it, so I must be able to keep it. And then we keep it, and then we get puffed up, imagining and thinking, wow, I'm actually doing pretty good here, and I'm getting better and better and better, and growing by degrees. And it's all a lie. It's all, we're just hypocrites and liars and self-deceived, because that's not why he gave the law. It's because we're sinners, and it's to show us, it's to make sin be more exceedingly sinful to us. It's to show us that we have sinned and offended a holy and a righteous God, and no, we can't keep it. Should we? Yeah, we should keep it, but we can't, because we're in this flesh and we're corrupt sinners born of Adam. And the Lord said in John 3:19, he speaks about that, he gives a testimony concerning us in the flesh and by nature, saying, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. The Lord Jesus Christ has come into the world, going about doing good and healing those of sicknesses and their diseases. He's the light, he's come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But for those that he loves, that his remnant, his people, he does come upon them, giving them his spirit, regenerating them, giving them life from the dead, so that they hear his voice, they're humbled, they hear what the law is saying, they're humbled by it, they confess that they're sinners, and they ask the Lord for mercy. They beg the Lord for mercy. They cry out to him. They bow before him. And in John 3:21 it says, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. That they were wrought by his improved flesh? No, but that they were wrought in God. That God did that work in him or her and brought them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Brought them to the light, even though it was to the condemnation of their own works and their own flesh. Because he makes us willing to say, Lord, I'm a liar, and you're the truth. I'm a sinner, but you're righteous. I can't do it, but you can, and you have to do it, Lord. Please have mercy upon me. He brings us to that, rather than saying, that can't be the way it is. I got to be able to do something. God wouldn't have done this if there wasn't something I could do to save myself. That's just proud, arrogant flesh thinking it's something when really it's nothing. So the Lord, he causes us to understand and to see this. So the Lord comes to us as a shining light. He is the light of men sent into the world to reveal to us that he is righteous and that we are sinners, because we didn't hear it with the law. We didn't understand it by the law, so he came and revealed it in person, that we are darkness. So his word comes in and it shines in the dark recesses and in the corners of our hearts and exposes what we are. It shows us, it reveals to us that we desperately need the mercy that God has shown to sinners in his Son, Jesus Christ. We need to be partakers of that grace and that mercy. So he's making it manifest to us. And it comes to us for the purpose, when we hear that word, it comes to us for the purpose which God sent it. Some are hardened in their sin and just move further into darkness, and others are delivered from the bondage of their sin and the corruption of our nature having power and dominion over us. He delivers us from that dominion of sin and puts us under the dominion of Christ and under his Spirit. In Isaiah 10, if you turn there, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 17. Isaiah 10, verse 17, it says, "And the light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his Holy One for a flame, and it shall burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day." That's what we produce in our flesh. We're that earth that's cursed, that brings forth thorns and thistles because of our sin. And he says that Holy One is going to be as a flame, and it's going to burn up and devour the thorns and the briars in one day, and shall consume the glory of his forest, right? His Spirit withers our flesh under the sound and preaching of the gospel. He makes it effectual, so it comes in and withers the strength of this flesh and its will to resist him. And of his fruitful field, both soul and body, and they shall be as when a standard bearer fainteth, right? Our natural born flesh just withers away. And when it's saying there, a standard bearer fainteth, that would, you know, we don't see this in our day, but, you know, back, I guess, in the Civil War or in revolutionary times, they had a standard bearer that held that flag. And as long as you saw that flag just there on the field and waving about, you knew that there was still hope for your side and that you had confidence to keep doing what your commander was telling you to do. You continued. But when you saw that flag go down and get overwhelmed and taken, you knew your captain and or general or major was taken over, was run over, and there's trouble now. It's time to get out because you're about to be overrun and consumed. So he's going to wither that standard bearer, that pomp and arrogance and pride that we have by nature. He's going to wither it and bring it down. And the rest of the trees of his forest shall be few, that a child may write them or count them. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. So that we see and understand that by nature we're in the house of the evil one, of the accuser, who lies to us and makes us think that we're free and can do what we want to do, and that the things that we're doing and delighting ourselves in the flesh in this world are joy and a good thing for us. But he reveals to us and shows us you're in bondage and you're subject to sin and you do the wills and the pleasures of your nature. And he shows us how they're destroying us and bringing us down and keeping us subject to the wrath of God that's coming upon the earth. And he delivers us out of his kingdom and puts us in the kingdom of his Son, Jesus Christ, and makes us content and happy to be in his service and in his kingdom. And we see that he's life. So his word is light and does all that by his power, right? We all hear the light of the gospel. We all hear the word naturally, but he makes it effectual in the hearts of his people so that they hear it spiritually with a new heart, a new man, a new creature to receive that word and to grow by that word working in us. So not only does it make it manifest or manifest itself in us in that way, but there's another sense in which this is a candle as well, in which we see this word so that it takes root in us, it comes forth and it begins to grow up to the Lord. It's a tender green shoot or a tender plant. So it goes, but he gives us a desire to share this word, and we should have a desire to share this word. And I get it, because we've seen things in religion that embarrass us, and we know what they do on you know, they paint a picture of Christians on TV and make them just look like condescending, judgmental people, and we don't want to be seen like that. So a lot of times we're saying, I don't even want to say I'm a Christian, because they're automatically going to think I'm that judgmental, condemning person that's going to judge them and not be merciful and kind and generous. And I'm not going to judge them when they sin. I'm not here to tell them how, you know, oh, you shouldn't do that or anything like that, because we know we're worse sinners than they are. But don't let that stop you from confessing Christ and bearing the shame, because a lot of times I know why I didn't say anything. It's because I really didn't want to bear the shame of Christ. And it's true, I can't control what people think automatically when they see a Christian, but it takes a long time. You know, a lot of people knew I was a Christian in work, and I worked there for 18 and a half years, and there was like nothing. I always was wondering, why am I here, Lord? Why am I even here? And I still don't even know why, but there was more fruit when I was leaving. You know, when people found out that I was leaving the company, I didn't even tell people, and my managers didn't tell people why I was leaving, but more and more people began to talk to me, and I had further opportunities at the end there just to speak to them about my hope in Christ and you know, as they gave opportunity. A lot of times we don't have a lot of opportunity, but don't be afraid to say I'm a Christian and then leave it there, and the Lord will, you just don't know what it may lay there dormant for 5 years or more, and you don't know, but you never know. But don't be afraid, because if you don't say anything, then they just never even know. You know, like, I never knew you were a Christian. I didn't even know. And you know, you wonder, well, what did you think about me then? You know, I don't know, because, well, you know what how we can show ourselves a lot of times, and I put myself there as well. We know what we can do in the flesh, but the Lord, you know, gave us this light to shine it, to declare his faithfulness, not to tell people how to live their lives, but to say, my hope is in the Lord, in Christ, and I'm a sinner, and I need his grace and mercy. You don't have to tell them about what they need to be doing, but you can confess what he's done for you at a minimum, and just see what the Lord will do with it. In Matthew 5, I was going to have you turn there, but in Matthew 5 it says, Christ said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And Peter wrote, and think about this, because we all have a different degree and different gifts, but he says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So not all of us can articulate and get into it on doctrines, and even if you can, a lot of us don't want to get into it, but you don't have to. That's not what he's calling you to do, but confess them. When they were persecuted, they went everywhere declaring what God had done for them. They just went everywhere just speaking as the Lord enabled them, and prayed about it, you know, and asked the Lord, help me. I don't know how to say these things. I don't want to be seen, you know, like some of the people are portrayed on TV. I don't want to be seen like that, Lord, but I don't know what to say. But pray, and if you have a heart, the Lord he'll open up doors, and he'll show you. He'll do the work. But he's given you a heart for it, you know. He's given you a heart because you're praying it. So he's worked that in you. So, all right, now, how do you hear? Here's another thing that the Lord says. He says, Well, basically, he says that we have a responsibility to hear the gospel. He's saying that. He's saying, you have a responsibility to hear the gospel. And it says in Mark 4, 23 through 25, he said, if any man have ears, let him hear. Verse 24, and he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. So it's applying, it's implying that those who hear, that those who hear it in spirit and in truth, they actually do something with it. It has an effect on them. It works in them, and it does something. It's alive. Christ has made it alive. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And so I've said it a number of times, because I remember my pastor saying it to us when he first came all the time, but there's nothing more important for us, for you and for your family, for your friends and loved ones, there's nothing more important than to be here and to hear the gospel and just to come and hear the gospel. You might think it's not doing anything. You might think, I don't know, I'm just hearing the same thing. But come, because it's the means it's the means that the Lord has chosen, that through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Right? To the flesh, it's going to be ignorant, and the flesh is going to say, I don't know, do I really need this? But he has a way of working that faith in us, causing us to hear it, even while we're actively resisting hearing it and trying to not hear it. He has a way of causing that word to go into good ground, and we'll see that in the next time, how that word comes into good ground, and it may sit there for a long time, but the Lord, he's growing it and he's doing something with it. He's teaching us and feeding us and growing us, even though we don't think anything is happening or going on there. So, all right. So, I would say, you know, just remember, you know, I get, you know, some of you have young kids that have bedtimes and things like that, but definitely as they're able, encourage your children and bring your children to hear the gospel, because they, like, when they're in school and doing schoolwork, you know, if you're saying, hey, do your schoolwork, that's more important, they're not hearing the gospel in their schoolwork that they're doing. That's not where they're getting it. When they want to go out to movies or to sit there and watch TV, they're not hearing the gospel there in what they're doing. Or when they go out with their friends and those other activities, they don't hear the gospel there. You know, when you go to work, if you have work scheduled on a time when we meet together, talk to your boss and get your hours changed if you can, or try and get a different job if you can, if they won't let you. But there's nothing more important than hearing the gospel. Even if you don't think it's doing anything, come and hear the gospel, because that's where the Lord has promised to meet his people, and that's where he promises to feed them and teach them, is under the sound of the gospel. Listen to these verses. In Ephesians 1:13, Paul said, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. After you heard the word of truth, then you trusted in him, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Yes, it's of grace. Absolutely, the Lord worked all that and brought that person there to hear it. But he brought them there to hear it, and they heard it. And after they heard it, he used that to minister grace and gave them an ear to hear. In Romans 10:17, Paul said, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. James 1:18 says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. And Paul told the Thessalonians, despise not prophesying. Don't despise it. When you just willfully neglect hearing the gospel preached, it's just despising the means that God has given to us to hear the gospel of his salvation through Christ, his Son. And Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 1:23 through 25. He said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Well, that's Christ, because he's the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, right? So don't trust in your flesh. It's all grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, that's Christ, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So he's revealing Christ. He's showing us and teaching us what Christ has done through the preaching of the gospel. All right, so he says now in verse 24, Mark 4:24, he says unto them, take heed what ye hear, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. So he's saying, to the degree with which you apply that word or have a desire to see that word applied, to hear that word that you're hearing is the degree to which you'll grow in grace. So salvation, it's all of grace. It's of the Lord's grace. But remember what Peter said at the end of 2 Peter 3:18. He said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he's not appealing to the flesh. And I don't want us to hear it as though this is something that comes in the flesh, because the flesh hears it and either runs with it and says, oh, good, I got something to do now, or the flesh hears it and says, what is this? I know that my flesh can't do this thing. Why is he even bringing this up and talking like this? But the Lord gives his people a heart. And do we have a desire to hear his word? Is there any desire? Because in the new man, he does give us a desire. We want to. We want to do better than what we do, because in our flesh, we fail miserably all the time. And it's very easy to give ourselves to the things of this world. I know it as well. But I know that when I neglect, I have to prepare 3 messages a week. And if I neglect the word, I'm just anxious and hungry and deficient until I get down and start studying this word and seeking him in prayer. So I know what it is to that if I neglect it, I'm not going to have anything for you, brethren. So, and I know what it is because I sat where you sit too, and I know how it's very easy to just put it off, and I'll get to that in a moment. I really want to get to that, and then you never get to it. I know what it is to be at work and have this desire, this urge to be like, you know, I really just want to read right now, and I want to seek, there's something on my mind. When I get home, I'll do it. And by the time I got home, every time, it was gone. The desire was gone. If I even remembered it at all, it was all wiped out and gone. But he gives us a desire for it, though, and a willingness, and helps us to see, wow, this flesh really doesn't love the things of the Lord. This flesh loves the things of this world and of this earth. So it doesn't want to do it. We find every reason, excuse not to seek him. But he says, unto you that hear shall more be given. And that's what he says. So, you know, he reveals it. But listen to in the light of that, listen to these 2 scriptures from Proverbs. In Proverbs 13:4, it says, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. And then in Proverbs 19:15, it says, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. And so we know that we can't do anything in the flesh. We can't. Without Christ, there's nothing we can do. And Christ said that. He said, without me, ye can do nothing. And I like how Paul says it too. And he says, but I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It's got to be Christ that puts it in us. It's got to be Christ that brings us to the word and to the water and to feed and drink him in, and to have a desire, because we know it's not of this flesh. This flesh has no desire to do it. And so we don't want to be indifferent about what we hear. We know how easy it just vanishes, the word that we've heard, even a good word. We hear it and it's like gone in an instant. Even for myself, I know what it is to go out those doors and to just pursue all the things that I have lined up that I have to get done. And then you forget what you've heard and what was said. But think on these things, you know, and watch and pray, because we know that it's not of us. There's no desire there. Read the word, and as you read the word, ask for light, because when we're forcing ourselves to read it, it can be just like a brick. Or even when we want to go and read it, it can be like a brick and you get nothing out of it. But there are times when the Lord blesses it sweetly in spite of us, and you think, Lord, I didn't even deserve that, but you just made it so sweet and brought it home to my heart. Thank you, Lord. And that's what we hope for, and that's why we keep coming back, because we know that it's Him who does that work in us. So be diligent as well to come and to hear the gospel preached regularly, and bring anyone that you can that'll come with you. You know, talk to people, encourage them to come, and pray that the Lord will give you that boldness and the opportunity to stand with Him, even though it brings shame upon you, and that people think less of you, because they probably will. But you just never know who you're talking to. It might be one of the elect sheep of God that He purposes to call out at some point. You know, I've heard, as I listen to other men preach especially, how there's been cases where someone just says something about the truth of God and Christ and His sovereignty and salvation, and they never see that person come. But after they die, they come and they say, yeah, you know, I heard that first time from this person. Really? So-and-so said that to you? That they used to be a member here, and now they passed away. And I've heard that in the Grace churches where they've come after. The Lord prospers that word at some point in the future. So take heed what you hear. He says, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. And that's His promise to us. So where true grace is worked in the heart, there will be fruit, and the Lord's people won't be lost. He's going to work this in us. He's going to bring it to pass, because it's got to be Him. We can't work this up in the flesh. It'll only be self-righteousness at best. But He said, you know, in Mark 4:20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So, you know, but that hypocrite and a false professor, that word will never profit them. It'll either be stolen away immediately or fall on stony ground and rise up and die out pretty quickly, or it'll get choked out by the cares and the things of this world and the desire, the deceitfulness of riches and the things of this world. But now, you know, having said that, I know that, you know, He says we're a candle, we're the light of the world, and we know the weakness of a candle. A candle only broadcasts so much light, and the further out it goes, the more dim it gets, and it doesn't even do much there. And candles burn down quickly, and they're blown out really easily. And that's us. That's a good picture of us, because we know, you know, we hear things and we're like, yep, I'm going to do that now. This week I'm going to be doing that and that and that. It's all good for me and profitable for me. And we blow out as soon as the wind comes through that door on us as we're leaving. And I get that. But turn over to Philippians, and we'll close with this passage in Philippians chapter 3. I think what Paul, he captures it really well, and he sums up the heart of a believer really well here in Philippians 3, and go to verse 10. Because I don't want us to hear this in the flesh. It's not at all why I'm saying this, but our Lord says it, and so I want to speak to it. But in Philippians 3:10, Paul says, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Meaning, however, Lord, it pleases You that I should leave this earth and lay this body of flesh down, it's fine, Lord. Make me accepting of that. However You are pleased to bring me to that resurrection, Lord, Your will be done. Verse 12. It's not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, right? Because when we look behind, all we see is guilt and shame, and we say, wow, yeah, I really fail in this all the time, don't I, Lord? I can't do anything right. And we look back on what we've done, and there is no comfort or hope or help in ourselves. But He means it that way. It should be that way. That's a good thing. So we don't look at those things. We forget those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, right? Is there any of you out there that are perfect and have achieved this thing perfectly? Well, he says, be thus minded, you know, seek Christ, keep pushing on. Great. If you've got it down, great. You keep on pressing and doing that thing. But to you who are otherwise minded, he says, God shall reveal even this unto you. He's with us. He's teaching us, and he'll grow us. He'll make that word effectual in our hearts. You can trust him for that. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. So the Lord, you know, the brethren hear those words, and they're the ones that are usually troubled by it and say, oh man, I'm such a failure. And, you know, we don't see anything good or profitable in us, but he does give us a desire, and we want to know him. We want to do those things that'll profit us and be, you know, and strengthen us in the faith, and that we might be of a benefit to our brethren. So he works that in us. We're never going to see anything good in us. We're not going to see things. Like, and the moment we see something, he usually knocks it right down so that we don't remember it for very long. You know, and those people that should be hearing this and heeding this word and trembling, they're not. But we say it because we don't know how the Lord's going to take that word and lay it to the heart and cause some hypocrite, some Pharisee to say, wait a minute, maybe I don't know the Lord. But to you who are his, keep pressing toward the mark. Trust the Lord. It's his work. He does it. He's the one who's going to grow us and strengthen us. And we'll see in the next parable that he gives how it's just a tender plant and it seems like nothing. We don't even understand how the Lord does it, but he grows it and it comes forth, and it might be years and years and years, but he'll bring forth fruit in his time, and then he'll put the sickle in and harvest you and bring you home to himself. So I pray the Lord will bless his word and help us to hear it in the new man. That's my desire, that we hear it in Christ. Because that's why he came. He did all the work of salvation. There's nothing that we're doing to save ourselves. He did it. He provided it by shedding his righteous blood for us. So I pray the Lord will bless it to our hearts. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that this work of salvation, it's all of you. It's not of us, Lord. And we can't save ourselves. We can't even motivate ourselves to do that which is profitable or to bring forth fruit, because this flesh is dead. Lord, in that new man that you've given, that new creature you've created, we pray that you would give us a hunger and a thirst for your righteousness. Lord, that we would indeed have a desire, and that you would bring us, Lord, that you would bring us to the prize of Christ. That we would have those times and seasons where you are just made so precious to us, Lord, by your Spirit coming upon us, delivering us from this death and this world and the fashion of this world and the ways of this flesh. Lord, please just give us rest in Christ and time with him to delight in our Savior. And Lord, help us to stand with you, with our Savior, even though we be shamed and mocked in this world. Lord, help us, because we draw back from it. But Lord, you know, and you know what to do. Lord, help us. We pray this in Jesus' name, our Lord and Savior. Amen.